everyone gets so excited when the detective twirls his mustache and says, I've got a hunch. And then maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, but what if he instead said he had a crunch and then reached into his pockets and pulled out loose cereal? I don't know that the case would get solved, but I think everyone would have a much nicer day. Hello and welcome to The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm a cereal enthusiast.
My name is Dan Gobert, and I am your cereal CEO, which stands for probably cereal eater, parentheses, often, end parentheses.
You know, a lot of people would come up with what the CEO stood for before they started saying it, but not us, Dan. We've got the courage to just trust our instincts. This is a meditative podcast about cereal. What that means is that for the next half hour or so, we'd like you to give yourself permission to just relax and think about cereal. That's it. Nothing more taxing than that. We're going to have some nice ocean sounds, some chill music, and just relax and think about cereal. We've got news, reviews, and then we'll cut loose in the third segment. But first, let's start off with some news. Dan, I got to say, in this first story, a lot of adjectives.
Yeah, for sure. Hold on a second. Okay, sorry. You know, in addition to cereal, I got to say one of life's greatest joys is pulling a loose sock taut on your foot. I just had to do that right now, and man,
goes down
that
smooth.
Felt great. I am re-energized and ready to take this podcast by storm.
You know what I like is taking my socks off at the end of the day. I think that's the best thing about socks is ditching them.
Right. Adjectives. Yeah, there's a lot of them here. We've got Cinnamon Toast Crunch Creamy Cinnamon Spread. And this is the latest addition to the vast Cinnamon Toast Crunch extended universe of peripheral products. And I am starting to think that it is General Mills' goal to make a Cinnamon Toast Crunch product that covers every single possible viscosity of matter. We've had, obviously, solid cereal. There's been Cinnamon Toast Crunch milk, coffee creamer, ice cream. There was just a Cinnadust frosting that came out. Yeah. And now we're landing somewhere in the semi-solid center of that continuum with this sort of Nutella or cookie butter-esque spread that, you know, comes in a jar, easily spoonable, knifeable, spreadable. But, you know, like the Cinnadust that came out, I'm struggling to think of enough applications of this spread that could justify an entire jar of it. Yeah. Like, how would you picture yourself using this sort of spread?
I mean, on a bagel would be nice, maybe. A bagel. Maybe as a, I mean, we've already got frosting, so that is out the door. Just to eat it straight up when it's been a rough day.
Right. Yeah, I can see that for sure. They have pictures and like the press release of it on apples. I guess that could work as well.
Sure.
I wonder too,
yeah,
if it could sub in for like peanut butter and like a PB&J, so it's C,
perhaps.
T, C, 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 S, and J.
We broke Dan. Dan's working.
I don't know. I've been on a big PB&J kick lately, and I'm ready to get experimental with it, so.
You know, maybe you can elevate celery.
I mean, it doesn't take much to elevate what is probably my least favorite vegetable.
I mean, put out another Cinnamon Toast Crunch product. I mean, like, I don't know how to feel about these anymore.
That's true. Like, you have creamy and crunchy peanut butter. If you toss some Cinnamon Toast Crunch pieces into this spread, you'd get Cinnamon Toast Crunch crunchy cinnamon spread. Really double down there. I think it's a great idea. I've always hoped that they would turn other spreads like Nutella or cookie butter into a cereal before turning a cereal into a spread, but I guess we'll take the indulgences we can get in this life.
Our next story, three new milk transforming Frosted Flakes flavors. Now, I hope that this is actual new flavors and not just like they change your milk weird.
Yeah, this is like the closest to breaking news I think we've covered on this podcast. I had to frantically update our agenda because this news just dropped like 30 minutes ago or so. And I'd say this is at least two new flavors of Frosted Flakes, technically. I don't really understand why the turning your milk different colors and flavors is the like leading branding element here, just because literally every cereal does that in some sense of the word.
Yeah.
I think they really should have led with the fact that, well, one of the flavors, there's three of them, is just chocolate Frosted Flakes, which is not new by any means, but it does sound like they are retooling the formula a little bit to add more sweet cocoa flavor as well as some vanilla notes. So that'll be interesting to see if it is really different. But I think the leading line items here are the strawberry milkshake Frosted Flakes as well as cinnamon French toast Frosted Flakes, which
okay.
sound really good. It's a little ambitious, I feel like, for Frosted Flakes, which is kind of like the blank tabula rasa of just plain sugar cereals that I don't always see it as being a complex enough vehicle to carry these layered flavors, but I'm willing to let them try, that's for sure. It's creative at the very least.
Yeah, it's worth a shot.
Kellogg's really nailed the strawberry milkshake Pop-Tarts at the very least, so if these can be even one iota as good, then they'll be winners in my book.
I mean, I'll try it. I like the Frosted Flakes, like the basic DNA of that cereal. So I would be interested to try other takes on it. Let's see here. Oh, a journey into oatmeal, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Always an occasion. If this was the sort of show that was trying to get people hyped, I feel like we should have like a stinger, an audio stinger for an oatmeal segment. They're so rare.
Just like a voice going, "Oat, yeah."
That's pretty good, Dan. I like that.
But yeah, we're journeying back to Texas for this one because
okay.
regular listeners of this show will know that we are big fans of HEB and what they have done for the cold cereal game already.
Yeah, for sure.
They're known for, amongst others, their Cerealology line, which includes Morning Sunshine, which is just an incredible blend of yogurty, fruity, citrusy flavors, as well as a Tres Leches cereal and any number of other extremely innovative store brand cereals that you're not going to see from your Kroger's and Walmart's, etc. And now it seems like they're testing the waters of hot cereal as well with HEB Instant Oatmeals. I got sent a photo of these from listener Douglas, and so far he has spotted Mexican hot chocolate as well as mango oatmeal from HEB. And I think Mexican hot chocolate seems like a no-brainer. Chocolate and oatmeal are really good bowl fellows. The mango strikes me as a bit stranger. It's clearly an adaptation of the HEB Mango Flakes, which were a stunning cereal, I have to say.
Yeah,
I've never seen one cereal do so much with a single distinct fruit flavor. And like I said, fruit and oatmeal isn't always the most winning combo for me, but if I ever find myself in a Texan supermarket, I would not say no to trying these.
Yeah. They do great work over there at HEB. They should be celebrated. No, I am very excited to hear that there's some new... I'm hoping that this is cereal-flavored ice cream rather than ice cream-flavored cereal.
Right, for sure. So Salt and Straw is a very popular ice cream chain. And they sort of ship their cereal worldwide as well. And their flavors of the month, this month, March, what little is left of March by the time you probably listen to this, they're all focused on cereal-inspired creations. And much like HEB being very innovative with their cold cereals, these ice cream flavors are pretty out there. And some of them sound really good. So There's five of them. I'll break them down. First, we've got Pots of Gold and Rainbows, which is one I know that Salt and Straw has done before, but this is, of course, their take on Lucky Charms, and I'm glad that by the description of it, they seem to really be trying to convey the actual oaten base of the cereal as well by steeping the whole grain cereal in cream for that bottom of the bowl, sweetened milk before stirring in mountains. Sorry, I'm reading this release and it's quite the gobbledygook of words, but steeping the whole grain cereal in cream for that bottom of the bowl, sweetened milk before stirring in mountains of rainbow mallows. Okay, so that one possibly cannot go wrong, in my opinion. And I think because it's something they've done before, it's probably a testament to how good it is. But this next flavor is probably the one that I am most intrigued by, and this is Cornflakes Cookies with Marionberry Jam.
Oh my! And
I'm not going to read the full description of all of these ice cream flavors, but this one in particular. Like, you know that one scene in The Simpsons where Homer's watching a commercial for the Good Morning Burger and there's a very alluring voice talking about rich creamery butter? That's what I hear in my head when I read this. When cornflakes go rogue, we turned one of our favorite cereals on its head and into toasty brown butter cornflake cookies. By browning the butter, we reach unparalleled caramelized proportions that just can't be reached with regular butter alone. Then we crumble them all into malty, cereal-flecked ice cream. Add in gobs of Marionberry jam whizzing past, and you've got a flavor that's gone completely off the rails.
Sure. Why not? I've had some of the Salt and Straw sort of themed in the past, and their cereal themed products, and they've been very, very good.
Mm-hmm. So we got three others as well. I know all eyes and brains are on the Marionberry Jam, but there's also an Off Limits Cocoa Puffs and Cold Brew, which, you know, our indie gem, indie darling Off Limits, their Dash cereal, which is a chocolate coffee cereal, is in this coffee-flavored ice cream, and they then envelop that Dash cereal in salty chocolate bark to complete the equation. So I think that's a really fun mix of, you know, lesser-known cereals and bringing it into the mix, and also coffee is a great note as well. And then we've got Snap and Crackle Marshmallow Treats, which takes essentially Krispies Treats and presses and toasts them into a lacy Florentine churned through a multi-toasted Graham ice cream. Graham, again, cult favorite here on the show, so I bet that'll be great as well.
Always good, done good.
And then finally, we have the one vegan flavor in the mix, which is peanut butter Cheerio clusters. It's unclear whether this contains Cheerios outright, but it sounds like the Salt and Straw kitchen makes their own cereal bars with cereal and marshmallow fluff and peanut butter, and they then break those cereal bars into clusters and turn them into a chocolate stracciatella flecked sweet oat cream, if I'm saying that correct. But yeah, as you can tell by the vast variety of eccentric words in all these flavor descriptions, these are some premium cereal ice creams.
And yeah, they're fancy.
I'm tempted, because there's no Salt and Straw location near me, to get them shipped to me, but the shipping prices are pretty, pretty crazy, and I don't know, shipped ice cream always scares me a bit, because I know they take great care to keep it frozen, but I'm worried that I'm going to find a giant Technicolor puddle on my doorstep.
Well, you're paying for the freezer, Dan. That's the shipping cost. Like, when they have to ship an entire freezer to you, a battery-powered one, nonetheless, it's going to get pricey.
I want a giant cereal box-shaped mini cooler, like they did with the Xbox fridge.
I have not had problems. They ship with dry ice, so actually they're too frozen a lot in my ice cream experience.
Dry ice scares me. I don't feel like I'm smart enough to handle dry ice without hurting myself.
Kids love it. I gotta say, kids love it. Those sound great. Speaking of things that sound great, you are, I would say, one of the most devoted fans of waffle cereals that I'm aware of. What did you make of Kashi Maple Waffle Crisp?
First of all, I can't believe they're legally allowed to call it Kashi Maple Waffle Crisp without getting the post lawyers on their case. But this was a very interesting one to me. I didn't even know it was coming out until I saw it on the shelves at my local grocer, but I had to grab it because it's weird. I have to do a little bit of a preamble explanation here that I like sugary cereals for sure as like a treat or a dessert, but I also have a weird place in my heart for bland cereals and a number of bland foods in general. And one of my favorite all-time cereals that I wish would come back, but which will never come back because I'm probably the only person who wants it back, is Kashi Honey Sunshine, which was sort of like a Golden Grammy type square type deal, but they were much blander and lightly flavored, which made them, you know, much easier to eat in the morning without feeling sort of overwhelmed by sweetness. And I get a lot of that same profile from Kashi Maple Waffle Crisp in that it's very much like 12.5% of the sweetness you'd get out of Waffle Crisp, but a lot of the same overtaste, if that's the right word for it, of, I mean, maybe it's a bit more of a genuine maple flavor than the super artificial Waffle Crisp, but it is very browned and caramelized as well. And I think if nothing else, they should have called it Waffle Crunch, because this is probably the crunchiest cereal I may have ever eaten outside of like a hearty granola. It is like loud, decibel level crushing crunchiness here, and if you have weak teeth or a sensitive palate, it might actually hurt your jaw to eat, but otherwise I think this is a great, great maple flavor for people who want, you know, something that won't just have a scorched earth approach to their palate with in terms of sweetness. It's very mild, it's nice, it's pleasant. I enjoyed it.
Okay. I mean, that's good enough for me, Dan. Lucky Charms and Cinnamon Toast Crunch mix. Now, this is not your own concoction. You say you bought this in a box.
Yeah, I couldn't find this in my local store, so I was very tempted to just mix them myself and tell you what I think of it.
Here's how it goes.
But I had to know just the exact ratio that the official mix had, as well as if there was any strange alchemic properties that go into having these two cereals stored together in the same bag for a long period of time. You never know what fermentation might take place. So shout out to my friend Kristen, who got me a box of this stuff, who went to great lengths to get me a box of this stuff despite what it is. She's also a fellow food reviewer, so if you're on TikTok, you should follow her at TikTokobellReviews. So we got breakfast and your lunch covered as well.
Nice.
But yeah, I expected very little from the Lucky Charms and Cinnamon Toast Crunch mix, but maybe it was just the state of mind that I was in when I ate it. I still kind of enjoyed it. I'd say I'm glad I found out the official ratio, because this is very much a Lucky Charms forward mix. I'd say it's 65 to 70% Lucky Charms, with the rest being, you know, filled with loose Cinnamon Toast Crunch squares. It probably could have stood to have more of the latter, but this mix almost works in this proportion because these smaller charms and the bigger squares have a very motley mouthfeel, and if there were any more of the squares, I might have ended up like puncturing the roof of my mouth a lot more.
Oof.
So I think they struck the most intelligent balance in terms of texture. The flavor, then again, is about what you'd expect. I didn't taste much different in these than from what I got from the cinnamon vanilla Lucky Charms that came out several holiday seasons ago. So I just don't understand personally why, when you already have the infrastructure to make a cinnamon Lucky Charms, why you wouldn't just use those here.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I don't have the insight there. My guess is, as always, is cheaper.
Yeah, probably. So, again, this was probably the cheapest new cereal General Mills has ever had to make. I don't know if I can recommend it outright, probably better off still mixing your own, because then you have two already great cereals to fall back on. But if you want something convenient, and if you're itching to try something new, I guess it's all right. It gets a hearty for me.
Yeah. Exactly what you'd expect, right? I mean, like 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all I needed to hear. Ooh, these sound good. I love the picture on the cereallessly.net that I saw, too. These look delicious. Crumble cereal. And that's crumble with no E.
Mm-hmm.
It's very 2022. Crumble cereal cookies.
Have you ever been to a Crumble Cookies before?
No, my friend, I haven't.
So this was what was really strange to me. They are a cult phenomenon, let me tell you. They have millions of followers across the country, and I had absolutely no idea that this is like the latest and greatest, trendiest dessert-based chain Crumble Cookies is. But yeah, their thing is that they do like weekly limited release cereal batches, or weekly limited release cookie batches. And so that's the unfortunate part, is that sort of with the time delay here in our recording, it's not possible for you to try these cereal cookies.
Yeah.
But I'm still happy to report back on my experience. First of all, I felt incredibly too old when I went in there. There's like a dozen or more employees working in there, and they're all scooping scoops of cookie dough in plain sight while a dozen people wait in line eagerly watching.
In plain sight. I like that. Just where anybody can see. Just right out there in public.
I like my dessert preparation to be done clandestine and in complete secrecy, because this is probably why it was a strange experience to me, because to me, the epitome of like hip dessert fads would be like a serve-yourself froyo bar, which is really a trend that I miss, because I really liked being able to just put a whole bunch of animal crackers on top of yogurt and drown it in chocolate sauce and, you know, engage in all kinds of gratuitous sweet sin, as long as I'm willing to pay for the per gram or per ounce weight. But that's beside the point. So they had four cereal-flavored cookies here, and they were cornflake marshmallow caramel cluster, which was like not even really a cookie so much as just a giant cornflakes crispies treat, so to speak. It was all gobbed together with, you know, nebulous brown sauce and very chewy, and of the four was the only one that I felt really made the most of its constituent cereal component, whereas the others were more just like cookies that loosely had cereal on top of them. And I say loosely because, especially in the case of the Fruity Pebbles one, you could just tilt the cookie on its side and all the cereal would fall off.
Great.
I did like that one, though, the Fruity Pebbles, because it was based on top of like a lemon cookie, and
ooh, that's a nice combo.
Surprisingly for Fruity Pebbles, which is not known for being a modestly flavored cereal, that was the most reserved of all the cookies. And these are huge cookies, by the way. I only had one person with me to eat them, so there were a lot left over. So the next one was a Reese's Puffs one, which was probably the least cereally of all of them. It's a chocolate peanut butter cookie with extremely moist and creamy frosting that would not firm up even after being in the fridge for several hours. But I did enjoy that one as more of like a snack cake than any sort of cereal cookie. And then finally we had a Cinnamon Toast Crunch one, which I enjoyed the most, mostly because the one thing that I noticed about these Crumble cookies was that all four of them were completely different temperatures and consistencies. Mm. I don't even know how they managed that. The Reese's Puff one was totally cold when I got it. Pebbles and cornflakes were pretty room temp, but the Cinnamon Toast Crunch one was very fresh, hot off the presses, doughy, soft, and just like an even denser cinnamon bun. So I really did enjoy that one, but your mileage may vary. I'm sure there's going to be lots of hardcore Crumble fans who listen to this who will have their own much more informed opinion than me, who's only been there once. But it's an interesting concept for a cereal place or cookie place. Man, I keep saying that.
It's terrifying that it made you feel old, because you are the youngest person I know in my life that is not my child.
Yeah, it was a weird experience. It was like walking into that one Black Mirror nosedive episode where everything's pastel and happy, and I got the pastels down, but I don't know. It was like a gray Sunday afternoon, and It was called quite the culture shock.
Now, this is special, Dan, because I think this may be our first book that we've ever discussed here on the show.
The first, but possibly not the last. This is
okay.
An officially licensed Lucky Charms children's book. The Magic Inside is what it's called, and I believe they already sold out of hard copies of this book, but anyone can go on the Lucky Charms website and find a PDF of this book. It's extremely interesting for a few reasons. One, I was very shocked to see that I was expecting a very short picture book, but this is like an 80-page chapter book that includes illustrations, of course, but it took me a good half hour or more to actually page through it. And there's some interesting revelations here if we're assuming that this is canon to the Lucky Charms franchise. I get that it's ostensibly an origin story for Lucky, so I don't know how old he's supposed to be when he started appearing on cereal boxes, but he looks the same drawn in this book, and they say he's only 11 years old.
Okay.
I always thought Lucky the Leprechaun was like an 800-year-old forest sprite.
Of course, right. Yeah.
And what I think is the most interesting reveal here is that Lucky the Leprechaun is only half leprechaun. He has a human mother and a leprechaun father. And the entire premise of the book is that, you know, obviously it has the moral about being yourself and, you know, finding your true character within. But Lucky is worried that his human side is causing him to be too nice, and he's not in touch with his father's leprechaunian lineage of mischief and troublemaking. So I'm wondering if kids will come out of this book with the lesson that they need to cause more trouble to be more like Lucky the Leprechaun. But I think the illustrations are very cute. It is well written, complete with, you know, phonetically written Irish accent dialogue.
You gotta love that.
So yeah, if you're looking for an easy, quick read, and if your kids love cereal, this is a good book. And it doesn't come across as a cereal advertisement in any way either. I don't think they ever even once mentioned cereal in it. So it's something, all right. And it ends with a "the end, or is it" type of line. So
okay,
I think so they're trying to make this more of a series. So maybe, you know, by the end of this, we'll find out where the actual serial story starts, and maybe there'll be an Avengers type initiative that'll bring other serial mascots into the fold. We can only hope.
That's I can't decide how I feel about it. I mean, I'm gonna get a copy. If my kids aren't reading this book, whose kids are? You know, that's shit.
That is true. I have to wonder.
Now, if we can take just a second, I am going to send Wheat out of the room. Wheat, I'm sorry. We've had a lot of good times. All other gluten-containing products, if you could excuse us for just a moment. Please, don't be like this. Yes, I know. Okay, thank you. Thank you. It's time, Dan, now that they're out of the room, and oh God, they're just staring from the door. It's time for our gluten-free jamboree.
Yeah, so a listener named Jack DM'd us on Twitter asking about what some good gluten-free cereals are. And it's something that I don't know if we've ever covered on this show before, because, you know, I don't have any particular gluten sensitivity, and I'm assuming you don't either, but there are tons of people out there who do. So I think even though we're not experts on the subject, we can talk about what some of the, you know, maybe lesser known gluten-free cereals are. Just to preface, I would say that if you do have like a particular gluten sensitivity, then definitely look on the box for ingredients and labels promising gluten-freeness, because you can never tell when, you know, a cereal company might change the ingredients or anything. But as of this writing, and as of doing some research, I found that, you know, in addition to obviously the specialty cereals like Magic Spoon and Off Limits that are designed for specialty diets, there are a number of quote-unquote normal cereals that are gluten-free as well. And, you know, I had to do some reading into what actually ingredients in cereal tend to contain gluten. And you're right, it is like the wheat, the barley, the malt, the rye, which means that, for the most part, oats are an exception and, you know, typically gluten-free, which is really great news just because oat cereals are, like, always the best. Just a quick tangent. I don't know if you saw my Twitter tirade the other day, but I was trying to, you know, National Cereal Day was a couple weeks ago, and no one really knows who started National Cereal Day or why or when. So, like, what's stopping any of us from making our own National Day? And I went ahead and determined arbitrarily that March 21st would be National Oats in Cereal Day as a celebration of everything that our favorite grain has contributed to the breakfast aisle. And I think this is a great testament to that, in that I feel like most people know that Cheerios are gluten-free, but there's also a large variety of other Cheerios varieties that are gluten-free as well. You've got apple cinnamon, banana nut, blueberry, chocolate strawberry, cinnamon, honey nut, frosted, fruity, maple, multigrain, peach, pumpkin spice, toasted coconut, and berry berry are all gluten-free, which is a little bit unfortunate that the more indulgent Cheerios flavors, the chocolate peanut butter, as well as the oat crunches, I don't believe are as safe. But honestly, if there was a world where the only cereals I could eat came from the Cheerios family, I don't even think I'd be too sad about it. There's so much variety within that sub-lineage that I don't think I'd ever get tired of it. And the same goes, for the most part, for Chex. So every Chex, but wheat Chex, of course, will be gluten-free. And you might not expect also Fruity and Cocoa Pebbles, gluten-free. Lucky Charms, gluten-free. Another oat powerhouse. And then there are multigrain and honey rice puffins being an underrated cereal family in its own right, as well as I was doing some research, and this website, Good For Your Gluten Free, they have their own gluten detecting sensor, which is an incredible sounding piece of technology, so that they could actually check and test other cereals that may not label themselves as gluten free, but they found that Kix, Trix, and Reese's Puffs didn't have the label, but also did not contain gluten. So that's kind of a short list of, like, mainstream cereals that you don't need to feel bad about trying and can really enjoy. And I think that's just great. Obviously, we'd love to see more cereals. Maybe if they switch to an oat-based profile, they could also earn that gluten-free status. But I'm glad there are a lot of options out there outside of the really expensive Magic Spoons, Off Limits, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's wonderful. I need to get myself a gluten detector. I'm not gluten intolerant. I just like to know where I stand, you know?
Mm-hmm. I like the picture they showed of it, too. When there's no gluten detected, a little smiley face shows up. And I just think that's great.
That's lovely. Thank you so much for joining us here on our show. If you'd like to support what we do here, if you get something out of it, head on over to bowl.rest. And you can make a pledge to the show for anywhere from $1 to $10 a month, just to help keep Cerealously.net going, and also to shelter for people experiencing homelessness here in my area. That's how the funds are split up. So if you could do that, we'd really appreciate it. You can also email us, mail@bowl.rest.
Yeah, we'd also like to thank Chris Zabriskie for our opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, Bria Davis for doing our podcast branding, as well as Samuel Rardin and M. Loper for designing our two pieces of Empty Bowl merch, which I see you have retooled the McElroy merch shop.
Yes, it's gotten a coat of fresh paint. It's ready for your shopping pleasure.
Yeah, so you can find our Empty Bowl t-shirt as well as our Empty Bowl enamel pin, which I was just looking at them again today, and I think it's great how these two products cover, you know, recent evolutions in my hairstyle. So
that's going to do it for us this week. For Dan Gubert, my name is Justin McElroy. And as Dan has always said from the beginning by himself,
don't forget to toast your oats.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. This is a new chapter. I'm in for it, though.
Don't forget to drink the milk, too. I had to throw it back for the classic fans on that one.
You don't want to break the wiki page. They've said it on every episode except...